Lord, we pray that your word would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We could hide it in our heart that we may not sin against you. Amen. Psalm 105, I spent some time there today in my just hanging out with the Lord. And just remind me of some things. And we're not going to read all of it because we just don't have time. The first part of Psalm 105 is just about God remembering his covenant, right? He made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. To 1,000 generations. Just in other words, real simple terms, it's about God being a covenant maker and the one who keeps covenant with us, keeping his word. And he watches, scripture says he watches over his word to perform it. You know, was talking about his word, you know, his covenant, of course, Jesus is the only one who ever kept it. And he did that for us, and we're now in Christ. But there's also just practical things to us about our journey with the Lord, about God speaking specific things to us, specific promises. So in Psalm 105, if you've ever heard me, I've talked about this before, probably a bunch. But starting in 16, he starts talking about that. It's about Joseph, and I like how it words it here. He called for a famine upon the land, and he broke the whole staff of bread. God had, within his sovereignty, he had planned for a famine to hit, that would hit the earth, a famine to hit in Egypt, all right? How long ago he planned that, I don't know, you know, but that's what it says. He knew that this was coming. And so to fulfill his plans, he raised up a guy, Joseph, right? And when Joseph was 17 years old, you know the story, he had two dreams. And in the dreams that his brothers and his mother and father would be bowing down to him, right? Maybe he wasn't supposed to share that with them, but he did, right? And it did not go well with him, right? So we know the story. So in all of this, I want you to just see God, the sovereignty of God and how we get there, right? And sometimes when it doesn't, it isn't very pleasant in how we get there, right? So he gave him these words, these promises, you know, that he was going to be a ruler and a leader. It says in verse 17, he sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave, the very first thing. Okay. It says, they afflicted his feet with fetters, and he himself was laid in irons. Right? And that word, he himself, when it says he himself was laid in irons, really, the Hebrew right there means that his soul was laid in irons. Right? Because Joseph, they afflicted his feet with fetters. And there's another, if you know, do some research in there, that word can also mean neck, right? His feet. And that means a lot to me, my neck being in fetters. Y'all know what I'm having to go through. But his soul was laid in irons. And that word afflicted there can be the word, you know, afflictions, things we go to. But also the same word for poverty, right? That he was afflicted or brought to poverty, okay? And that's what afflictions do a lot of times. They're designed to empty you, right? Joseph couldn't fulfill what God wanted him to do right then. He just wasn't ready, right? There was just too much of Joseph in the way. He'd have just been a disaster, right? We think, pretty sure. And it says this, okay, they afflicted his feet with fetters, or his soul was laid in irons. And it says this, until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. The word of the Lord refined, purified, tried him, okay? And that's what the word, if you think, you know, I've been thinking a lot lately about how God just orchestrates everything in our lives. How we are, our times are in his hands. Even during our day, when we're not even thinking about it, you know, God is orchestrating and doing things behind the scene. He's always moving in our lives. And he's always moving, which is so important for us to get a word from the Lord, because he's always working to fulfill that word in us. Okay, why it's so important to get a word from the Lord in every situation, which I do. I have a whole journal full of words from the Lord that he spoke to me concerning my situation, okay? And he gave me this today to let me know and encourage me about my word coming to pass, that it's going to come to pass, right? And that word has really tested me to see if I would believe, right? Our enemy is our unbelief, right? That is the number one enemy we deal with is our unbelief. And even in my life, and so many times when, you know, I've tried to encourage people, they'll get a word from the Lord, and it's not coming to pass, and they get discouraged and want to quit, right? and trying to encourage, don't quit. I mean, we don't know when that word's going to come to pass, but it's going to come to pass. But you have a responsibility with that word. We have to pray that word. We have to confess that word. Not that there's power in that. That's not word of faith. That's not what I'm talking about. But it's just so important because I was reading through Psalm 119. Now, Psalm 119 has 150 verses. Okay, we're not going to read all of those, but every bit of it, except every verse except two, I think, speak of the word of the Lord, the statutes, His commandments. You know what they do in us. So we'll read a couple of them. But I'll finish reading this right here because it's so good. The word of God tested him. You know, so we don't get all that about Joseph's life, but you know, we know that word was always there. It was refining and purifying him. You know, when he went to prison, when he went to Potiphar's house, he was in charge of all the people, right? Even when he was thrown in prison, it says the favor of God was on him and he was in charge of the prison. So he couldn't have been like in shackles because he ran the prison, right? He was running things in there. So I really believe what it meant here, the word was this had to do with him personally and had to do with his own walk with God and his own soul. And then it says the word the king sent and released him, you know. And he became rulers of the people to set him free, and he made him Lord over everything. That was a time for Joseph's word because, you know, God could trust him with it. All right. And I want to be found that way, don't you? To be found trustworthy of what God wants to do. This is some of the things it says in Psalm 119. I'm just going to read a couple of them. Psalm 119. And there's several different people, I think, wrote this one, particular one, not that one, any particular person. This is my comfort in my affliction. It's verse 50. Your word revives me, right? Your word has revived me. My comfort in my affliction is the word of the Lord to me. It's what He's saying to me. Okay, that's my comfort. That's your comfort in affliction. It is what God is saying in that, right? It revives you. You have to keep going back and visiting that. All right, Lord, this is what you said. But again, look at affliction as the emptying. You're pouring out, right? Getting stuff out of you so stuff can get in you, okay? And then this one. I'll read starting in verse 65. You have dealt with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. You teach me discernment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word, right? The affliction had to do with that person no longer straying, right? Straying in my thoughts, when I just kind of stray away from what the Lord has spoken, gets me back on the path, okay? And I've done that many times. You are good and you do good. Teach me your statutes. The arrogant have forged a lie against me, and with all my heart I will observe your precepts. Their heart is covered with fat, but I delight, Lord, in your law. It was good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Right? It was good for me that I was afflicted, or I had to go through my affliction. Right? And that question is, you know, does God cause this, or does He not, or what does He use? It says in Psalm 119, all things are His servants. All things are God's servants. If it's the enemy, he's serving God's purposes, right? All things are His servants. So He uses a lot of different things, okay? I don't really get, that doesn't make me stumble in that. I know God is good, His word is good, and He's going to fulfill His good word, right? So it's good for me. In Psalm 78:34, I'll finish with this one, really a good one. It says this, when He killed them, they sought Him and returned and searched diligently for God. When He killed them, they sought Him. And kind of a contradiction of words. How can I seek Him from the dead? Well, evidently that He didn't really kill them, but He was putting to death in them. You know, the scripture I use a lot, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we are always caring about in our body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may come forth. So you can come out of a thing and say, it was good for me that I was afflicted. In that affliction, He killed me, those things that needed to die, because what it made me do is just to diligently seek Him and find Him, right? Just like in Deuteronomy 8, that's where Jesus quotes, for man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, meaning that not preceded, that proceeds, right? That He's a speaking God. I read something that I'd written in my Bible, you know, about God being a speaking God, like he's always talking. He's never just silent. He's just always speaking, right? We need to hear what he's got to say, especially in your situation. And understand, there's always a purpose, always what he's doing. He's emptying you, afflicting you, so he can fill you. And in those places where he has killed you, put to death your will or my will or whatever, it's for a great thing, because he uses that to propel us into a place. Sometimes God uses things to propel us in a place where we wouldn't normally choose on our own, because he loves us. He knows how to do it. Just like I always use squeezing a watermelon seed. You squeeze it, and it shoots out, right? The guy was telling me a story yesterday of the Lord moving them to Selma, and just some crazy circumstances happened in the town they were in, where they had to get out of their house. You know, the landlord wanted them out, you know, and worked circumstances to get them out. And there was nothing they could do about it. And so the Lord used that to bring he and his family back to Selma where he wanted them, right? So he does that at times. Amen? Thank God he does that. Because before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. Amen?